where you live and the date, so this identifies your date.
I am George White, and I live at 9191 Woodside Drive, Northville, and...
August the 2nd.
Yeah, August 2nd, 1989.
1989, okay. And how long have you lived in Northville, Mr. White?
I've lived here my entire life.
Entire life?
I was born in South Bend, Indiana, but my mother and father were on vacation, and I came a little prematurely.
Oh, I see.
So we came immediately back to Northville, mm-hmm. and I've always resided in Northville. Went through the Northville school system, worked in Northville all my life. I've worked at the harness tracks in Northville Downs and the other various tracks, Hazel Park, Wolverine, for 40 years. And also owned part of and worked at Northville Pharmacy from 1960 to 1980. And as I said, I guess I did say I went, I graduated from Northville High School in 1942.
42.
Yeah, and I went to college for 1 year before I went in the Navy, came back in 1946, went back to school, graduated in 49.
From where?
From Detroit Institute of Technology. And I never worked at pharmacy on a full-time basis, always part-time, doing relief work during the day because I worked afternoons at the tracks. And one of the reasons I did this is that the fringe benefits that were available to me. And at my age now, I'm 64, I have a considerable retirement and Blue Cross and all the other fringe benefits you look forward to. And I could still work at the pharmacy from 9 to 3 or 4 in the afternoon because I wouldn't go to work until 7 o'clock at night. At the track, and at that time we were only working about 8 or 9 months a year at the track, so I still had all winter on. And my children grew up in Northville, and they graduated from Northville High School, and there's been 5 generations of my family.
5 generations?
Yes.
Of your family that lived
yes.
in Northville?
Yes.
Going back to what? Your great-grandparents?
My great-grandparents, my grandparents, my father, myself, and my children.
Well, what can you tell us of dating back to your great-grandparents' time? Did they live on a farm here? Or what?
Yes, they lived on a farm. Actually, it was in the Wixom area where the Ford Lincoln plant is now, out on West Road. And they had like 180 acres there. And then I had some great uncles that lived in Novi in the Northville area. And then my grandfather migrated down to Northville, which is only a
now,
few miles away.
Would that be your paternal grandparents
yes.
all the way back?
Yes.
They were all last name of White then?
Yes, they were all Whites. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather worked, this is as far back as I can remember. I can't remember my great-grandfather, but he worked for the Detroit Urban Railway, and he was superintendent, and his office was over on Orchard Lake Road in Old Grand River. And the railroad, or it was kind of like a streetcar, and it would come down 8 Mile Road into Northville and go through Plymouth and Newburgh and into Ipsy and then back again. And I can remember when I was a very young child why Henry Ford used to come out and get on the Detroit Urban Railway there at Orchard Lake and Grand River and ride that and come into Northville, and that would be his first stop because he had small Ford plants all the way along. He has one at Waterford, one at Phoenix, one at Wilcox, one at Newburgh, and so on. And he would periodically drop off at those places and go and visit those shops. And used to sit on my grandfather's back porch and up on Center Street, up on North Center Street, and talk with him. And my grandfather would say, "Now, Mr. Ford's coming. I want you to sit here and be very quiet. Don't say anything. And at that time, I wasn't aware of the fact of what a great man he really was. And he used to stop in uptown because the railroad used to come down to Main Street and off of Griswold and make a left and go down towards the curve and then back up Main Street to the old bandstand that was right in the middle of Center Street and Main Street. And he used to get off and go in and talk to Ed Bogart in the EMB market where the hole in the wall is now. Mr. Bogart had a grocery store, and he called it EMB, Edward Melvin Bogart. And he was great friends with Mr. Bogart, and of course Mr. Bogart's passed away now. And then he'd get back on that trolley, and away they'd go, and they'd stop, and of course it only went one train at a time, so they could stop down to Waterford for half an hour, so on and so forth in those days, and inspect his plant, talk to his superintendent there, and go on. And anyway, that's some of the...
I understand the train waited for him?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I thought maybe he just...
No.
The streetcar ran.
They'd wait a half an hour. Of course, you know, you didn't have the traffic that you have today.
Before, I can imagine.
Yeah, you know, there was no hurry, no schedule in particular that they had.
Now, obviously, he had cars then.
Oh, yes.
But he preferred to
drive this. Yes, he loved that because he used to be able to drive it. And his chauffeur used to drive him out to Farmington at Orchard Lake and Old Grand River, and he'd park the car there and hop on the Detroit
and they let him drive it, you said?
Oh, yes. No, they let him get up in there. Yeah. And so that's part of that I know about. And my great-grandfather and my grandfather helped put the well in down there by the railroad tracks, there on the curve.
Oh.
That's Main Street down there. I always kind of think of it not as Main Street, but... they were one of some...
What was it called then?
No, it was Silver Springs then.
Was it?
Yes, Silver Springs. And they had...
Now, Main Street was Silver Springs?
No, that was Main Street, but they called the spring Silver Springs.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And in back of the depot there, the train depot used to be right up in back of the well. And then in back of that, they used to have a pop company called Silver Springs. And they used to manufacture pop back then. And they used that well water.
Bottling water too, didn't they?
Yes,
water
right.
Bottling.
In fact, I've got a jug right here that was originally from there. Silver Springs, yeah. And would you like to see it?
Did it have Silver Springs on it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I would. Okay, we were discussing the Silver Springs bottling system, and you were just showing me about what?
I would think that's a half a gallon.
Half gallon.
Yeah, about 2 quarts of that. And that's one of the original ones that came out of my grandfather's basement.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he used to take this water to work with him, because back in those days they had a water cooler where they would take the 5 gallon jug and turn it upside down. Mm-hmm. They didn't really have a lot of tap water like we have today.
No. Now what do you, your father worked for the Interurban. Your grandfather.
Yeah.
How many was in your, okay. Tell us about your father then. What did he do?
My father worked when he was a young man on the crew that repaired the tracks for my grandfather. But then he bought this gas station on Center Street in Racine, 340 North Center. and he started a gas station there. Of course, they didn't have the zoning laws that they have now. And we lived two houses behind that at 114 Grayson, and that's where I was raised and brought up. In fact, that's the first house the only house I ever remember living in. And my dad had
What was the address on Grayson?
114 Grayson Street. It's the second house behind the present Peach of Cutter, which was, of course, my dad's station. And of course, they had the old type gas
station. Your dad's gas station is now the Pizza Cutter?
The Pizza Cutter, down right on the corner.
What kind of gas station was it? Just all around mechanical?
Yes.
Did mechanical work? Was there any particular brand of gas?
Yes, it was Indian Gas, was the name of the gas that was in there. And then they went to Phillips 66. And then later on, they went to Fleetwind. And they went to Shell, and then I don't know from there on. But when I was a kid, it was Indian Gas, and it was owned by the Conoco Gas Company, or oil company.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, when World War II came along, my father went to work in a defense plant at Livernois and Tireman down below Lincoln Plant in Detroit.
Did he still keep the gas station?
No, he sold the gas station. And he worked there until he retired. In fact, he came out and worked at the plant in Wixom, and then he moved to Duck Lake up in Highland, up on 59 Highland and Duck Lake.
Mm-hmm.
So he lived in that area.
Did you work at the gas station with your dad?
No, I was too small at that time. He used to let me hang around there once in a while because he'd give me a bottle of Silver Springs Pop. That's when Pop was a nickel a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, C.R. Ely used to come there. Mr. Ely used to come there every day with a 50-pound cake of ice and put in a cooler. There was water in there, you know, maybe about 3/4 of the way up on the Pop bottles. And all kinds of flavors you had there, chocolate Pop and red Pop and orange.
Was Center paved then? Was it paved?
Yeah. Yes, it was paved.
It
was paved up the baseline road, which goes off to the right, and that was a dirt road at that time. And even Racing Street was a dirt road because we used to put our ice skates on at the house and ice skate right down the road to the mill pond down in Hutton there, anyways. And of course, you couldn't ice skate down there unless you brought a shovel and did a little shoveling of the snow. That was the bigger kids that made you do that. But we ice skated on that, seemed like all winter. Now it doesn't seem like the kids ever use that for ice skating for some reason.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember from those early days before we even get into your high school and your family? What do you remember about the businesses that were in Northfield? Of course, you touched upon the EMB Market.
I can remember Joe Rebitzer with the shoe shop there for years. George Rattenberry had a...
What shoe shop now?
Joe Rebitzer repair shop.
Uh-huh.
And
is it where the shoe repair shop is now?
No, it was across the street. And right next to the A&P store, and then down below that there was a barber shop, and Joe Rebitzer's still alive. I think he's up to Allen Terrace, if he could tell you. It was right about in where the camera shop is, next to Joe Spagnolia's place. And then where Black's Hardware used to be, George Rattenberry had a meat market in there. And then just down from that, John McCulley had a shoe store. And I'm going around the corner now on Center Street where Cloverdale is, Sally Bell Bakery. For years, it was a home bakery in there. And, of course, right across the street from that where the Starting Gate Bar is now, next to Schrader's, was the post office. And then Schrader's had a funeral home in there, and then the furniture store, and then next to that, going south towards Main Street, was the dime store, the local DNC store. And then Schaefer's had an electric shop in there, and then right on the corner where the Northville Record is now used to be a hardware store owned by Colonel Babbitt. And that's Mrs. Babbitt's husband, and she lives on the corner of Rogers and Fair Boulevard. And Mr. Babbitt had a hardware store in there for years. And I can vaguely remember directly across the street from that, there used to be a rooming house or a hotel, and I think it was a Parker house, they called it, and that burnt. And I was a very little kid, because I can remember my father, I was sitting on his shoulders, so I was preschool age, but I can remember that place burning. And the heat got so intense that it broke the glass in that hardware store across the street. And I think it was a Parker house. And then over on the other corner, a man by the name of Horton owned the Rexall drugstore. And then Mike Gunzel bought that drugstore in about 1934-35. And I started working for him when I was in the seventh grade, and I worked for him for 6 years, from the seventh grade to high school, in his drugstore there on the soda fountain and various other jobs.
Now that was located right on the corner?
Right on the corner, and it used to be Lorenz's. Now, Doug Lorenz was married to Marilyn Gunzel, which was Mike Gunzel would have been his father. And when he bought it, he changed the name from Gunzel's to Lorenz. And then as you went on down the street, Friedel's was still there. Orville Owen had a men's shop in there, a nice haberdashery. Lappin's were always there, and it used to be Ponsford's years ago. And I know Mr. Friedel was a tailor, and he used to sit in his front window there and sew. Us kids used to watch him. You know, that sounds like a lot of excitement, I guess. It was one of those things. And you could, when I was a little kid, you could ride your bicycle uptown. I used to ride my bicycle uptown, and I could park it in front of one of those stores and come back the next day or the next week, and it would still be there. Nobody ever touched that bicycle. Nobody ever took anything like you do today. I used to ride to work when I was in the seventh grade to Mike Gunn's and leave my bicycle leaning against the front of the store, and maybe leave it there all night, come back the next day, and it was still there. I mean, you know, those are, you know, when Northville was about 2,000 people. And right across the street where the jewelers had gone, it would be the jewelry stores now, you know where that is across from, okay, that used to be Lappin State Savings Bank. And probably Charlie Lappin could tell you about that, because that was probably his great grandfather, I think. And that went defunct during the Depression years. And in fact, when the old grade school burnt, they held some of the classes in that building. In fact, there were so many vacant buildings during the 30s, I'm going to say in the middle 30s, that when the old grade school burnt behind the old high school,
yeah,
between Main and Katy, they had classrooms and all the empty stores. In fact, where Harold Bloom's auto agency is now on Main Street, the second grade was in there, and right next to it is a travel agency now, but it used to be Max's Barbershop, but we used to have the fourth grade in there, and I was in the fourth grade at the time.
Yeah.
And various stores all the way down through town, wherever there was an empty store, they put one of those grades, and they kept right on going. We didn't miss much school when that burnt. And I'm not really sure when it burnt, but I'm going to say about 1933 or 34, somewhere between there, maybe 35, because I was in the fourth grade. And I went through the fourth and fifth grade in that building where the travel agency is now. I think that's about 113, 115 West Main. And then we came up, and there was one vacant room in the high school, and the sixth grade was in that. and we had the 7th and 8th grade on the main floor, and one big room, Ida B. Cook was our 7th grade teacher and 8th grade teacher. And they were just starting to build the elementary school on Main Street next to the old high school, I think in 1936. And I can remember looking out the window and watching those men with their wheelbarrows and their bricks and everything, building that beautiful school. That was a beautiful school. And so I never really went to school there, because that was elementary then. I went through my 4 years of high school right in that building. And there was probably an average of 60 to 70 kids per class. So in the high school itself, there was probably about 250 to 280 students altogether. And you knew all those kids.
Do you remember how many was in your graduation?
There was 74.
74. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, was in the old building.
Yes. That's the old village school. Yeah. And I go in there now, and those halls look so small, and that gymnasium looks so small, but it looked so huge when I was going to school there. And 69 of those kids that graduated from high school with me started in kindergarten. They didn't have transits. I call them transits, transfers or whatever.
69 out of
And people say, well, how did they have such a big class? Well, actually what they had is they had two sections. They had, like, when you start the kindergarten, you went a half a day. You went in the morning, you went in the afternoon. And then when we moved over into the other building, there was two first grade classes and two second grades. Because they had them split down to about 30-some in the class. But 69 of us started in kindergarten together and graduated from Northfield High in 1942 together. So that's quite a thing. There was only like about five transfers. And all that time, in and out of our class. So you knew those kids just like brothers and sisters. You know? And some of them still live here in Northfield. And Mr. Ammerman, who was our superintendent for many years, his daughter Edith was in my class, and we went all through school together. Of course, they lived up there on West Street for years and years. As long as I remember, he had two blocks to walk to work. Mm-hmm. And most of those families are gone now, but all the Casterlines and like that. Freddie Casterline was older than I am, but I've known him all my life. And different people like that are still around town. And but I go into town now, and I really don't know the people I did back when I was a kid. When I was going to high school, I could go into any store in Northville, and I'll take that, and I'll pay them when I get payday, and they'd let you take it. And my mother bought all her furniture from Nelson Schrader. Used to call him Poon. And she used to go in there every week, pay for his clockwork, and give him $5 on the furniture. That's how we bought all our furniture right there from Nelson. For as long as he was in the furniture business. And then, of course, I keep jumping around a bit, but down where the little flower shop is on Dunlap and Center Street, you know where the flower shop would be, the southeast corner. The old opera house was there. And that was tore down, I'm going to say, in the early 50s. Maybe late 40s, somewhere. Because I know that when they tore it down, I was in Florida on vacation, and I came back, and I was really sad to see that tore down. But Sam Pickard had a meat market in there, and Iverson's had a bakery on the other side, on the main floor. And in the middle, this big, wide, huge staircase went up to the second floor. And there was this old-type opera house like you see in a Western movie with the stage down there. And my grandfather played the cello, and my grandmother played the organ. And they I had never seen them perform there, but local talent would perform there once a week on Saturday evenings. And I don't know whatever happened on my grandfather's cello, but we had it for years, but those things seemed to disappear. And they used to have all kinds of entertainment coming there. And I can remember there was a great big, well, maybe a 2-diameter-inch hole drilled through this big, beautiful door on the front. And we could always, as kids, we would peek through there and we could see this grand staircase going up with all the carved railings and the sides on it. And you could just see part of the tapestry on the drapes and curtains on the stage that you couldn't see down in. And I had never gone into that opera house, but I always wanted to. And just before they tore it down, when they let people go in there, just a few at a time, but I guess it was in bad disrepair. But that's where the old opera house was.
Well, you never attended a performance there, you said?
No, I never remember that. That was shut down or closed down before I was old enough to, go to the theater and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I can remember my grandmother and grandfather talking about performing there. She played the organ. They had big pipe organs back in those days. And he played the cello. They had kind of a local band, I guess, or orchestra. And I thought it was a very small, quaint little town. And you just knew everybody in town. You walked down the street, you knew everybody. Everybody knew you. That's all. It was just like one big happy family. Now Northville's grown so much that I hardly know anybody. But there are a few old timers still around. I guess maybe I'm getting to be an old timer myself, although I don't feel like it. But it's been a grand place, a good place to live. Like I say, 5 generations of my family has lived here. And it was just a good place to grow up when I was a kid, and my children grew up here, and they had a good life.
Okay, what about your own family, brothers and sisters?
I have one sister, and she lives in Plymouth now, and she's a registered nurse, and she lived here all her life except the last few years they moved to Plymouth.
Is she younger or older than you?
She is older than I, and I have
what is her name?
Leona Leavenworth. And they live down on Beale and Yerkes Street, right on the corner. And then they moved to Plymouth, built a new house there sometime in the 50s. And they lived there. Their children went to elementary school here in Northville up until high school. And by that time, they had moved to Plymouth and they graduated and went to school, high school in Plymouth. And I have a younger brother who's now deceased. He passed away last October. And he was 58 years old. And he lived here all of his life, but he also married a Plymouth girl, and they lived out on Sheldon and Joy Road. And it's now Camp, but we still think of it as Plymouth. Just passed the bird out.
What was his name?
Charles.
Charles Wayne.
Yep, and he also worked at Mike Dunson's drugstore there, all during his 4 years in high school. And he worked for Dunn Steel and then as Townsend Steel in Plymouth for years. He was a tool and die maker over there. And he was just, had bad health, that's all. He had 2 heart attacks and a stroke and a bad thing. But my sister and I have good health. That's one of our blessings, I guess.
Now, we talked about businesses. We're interested in the historical significance of the thing you may be able to tell us. What about
a little bit about the racetrack now, because that used to be the Wayne County Fair.
I know someone has told me that, but we can't.
That used to be the Wayne County Fair, and they used to have a fair of about 5 days, I guess, back in those days when I was a kid. And the seniors always had an eating booth down there. And that's one of the ways that they made money to take their senior trip. we went to Washington, D.C. for a week. And we got on the train right down by the well, took the B&O, Baltimore and Ohio Railway, into Washington on a Sunday and come back on a Sunday. The whole class, I think there's only about three or four kids that didn't go because they didn't want to. They could have gone. But this is one of the ways we earned money. And that was the big thing every year, to go to the Wayne County Fair. And then when World War II came along, of course, they stopped the fair. And I think probably about 43. And then it turned into the racetrack down there. They sold it. And just up on the hill there on Sheldon Street, or Sheldon Road, just past the park, on the left-hand side across from where they're building those St. Lawrence condos, that used to be quite a ski jump there. They had a tremendous thing built there. It looked like an erector set. And it looked like...
I've heard that to me before. Maybe other people. Yeah.
Yeah, if you ask them, other people who lived there...
About when was that?
Well, this had to be back in the early 30s, around 30. This had to be about 4 or 5 years old at the time. But I can remember them. It looked like it was just went right up into the heavens. And... I don't know whether they call that ski jump hill or not, but that's quite a good sized hill, and they still toboggan down that hill. And that was one of the big things to go down there when I was a kid.
Now that was south of where the St. Lawrence Estate condos are going up.
East. Yeah. As you're going up the Sheldon Street hill, it's on the left. It's now some of the park in there. As you go across...
Sheldon goes north and south.
Yeah, right. As you go up the hill, going south, you get up to the top of the hill,
yes.
It's over to the left.
Oh, okay.
So, St. Lawrence is over here.
Yes.
And then the ski jump...
There's a drive leading back into there. I've never been back into there. Is that where that drive that's beautifully...
With the iron fence?
Yes.
Well, there is a home in there. Built in there. Reuben Jensen used to live there. And Mrs. Haller, who had Haller Manufacturing, if you remember Haller Manufacturing, they lived there for years.
But the ski jump was what? Which way from them?
It would be to the north of them.
To the north of them, mm-hmm. I see.
Down towards the park drive.
Okay.
In fact, if you went up on the top of that, if you went up there now and got out of your car, it dips down way down deep in it, way up high. And they had a tremendous ski jump there for years. And
well, skiing certainly was not as popular there was skiing. Though.
Yeah, you had skis where you had an old leather strap over your shoes, and they didn't have the bindings and the things that they have today. And I think they probably had to be a little more skillful at jumping than they do now, because they didn't have all the fine equipment, all the things to use. And we used to go fishing down in the mill pond, down at the end of Grayson and Hutton Street there. Mm-hmm. And we used to have some flat bottom boats. We used to build some old rafts and go out there like Tom Sawyer, I guess, and pull around it, because that really isn't as deep as you might think it is. It's probably, it's deep, but it's probably not more than 10, 15 foot deep.
To go back to Mr. Ford, the plant in Northville that he would stop to visit, was it the same site for the print?
Yes, it's the same site, but it's a different building. They had a 3 or 4 story building there. In fact, they had a shed built right on the very corner there of the Ford property, where they used the farmers used to bring their milk in and put there. In fact, I got a picture here someplace, and I'll try to dig it out for you. My grandfather, with some of the section hands on an old hand car, where they pump and go along and repair the railroad there. It shows the milk cans and the little shed there where the farmers bring their milk. They didn't refrigerate it like they do today, They had some kind of a water trough that they set it down in. But it was an old gray building, and Mr. Bauerberger lived in the house just across the corner from there, where right in back of it there's a chiropractor now. Mm-hmm. And he lived in that big house right there, and the superintendent of that plant, that was where he lived. And then right on up the street, different people who worked for Ford's lived in those houses, all the way up to Hutton, up to where they got a little unfinished furniture place. Well, it is not finished furniture now. And then Dr. Irene Sparling had an office in there, and her house was right across the street from right next to the Gift Settlers now, which used to be a gas station. That nice big brick house, it was Dr. Irene and Harold Sparling's. And there was a man and a wife, MDs, and they practiced medicine there. And then Dr. Todd had a dentist office in there. And there was apartments on the next couple of floors, but that building's been torn down for quite some time. And there's an antique business in that big house right there on Main Street next to the Water Wheel restaurant, you know, as you're coming up from Ford Factory. And that used to be the old American Legion post. Used to have the American Legion had there before they built it over by Castellanos on Dunlap.
Mm-hmm.
And the Presbyterian Church is
always... Well, there's a VFW post there now, but it's not the same spot.
No, the American Legion is up on Dunlap and Center.
Yes, I know where it is now, but I'm saying that's the spot, yeah.
And the VFW is down on Main Street there.
But where the American Legion was pretty close to where VFW is now then, right? You said
no,
it was next to the antique?
No, there's an antique show. You know where... Water Wheel restaurant,
yeah,
is there.
Yeah.
Right next to it, that big house.
Yeah.
We'd be going east towards the Ford factory. It's got a big long porch on the front of it.
Uh-huh.
That used to be the American Legion building in there. And they had big rooms in that house at that time. You know. And then they built and moved around on Dunlap and Center Street. Sometime, but a good many years ago. I'm kind of hopscotching around.
That's all right. No, I think your thoughts are pretty well ordinary.
And down where Ballinger's is now, if you know where that is, at the end of Katy Street.
Car wash.
Okay. Stinson's used to have an aircraft factory in there. They used to build airplanes in there. And their airfield was out on Beck and 6 Mile. And they used to land those tri-motors or double-wing planes, biplanes, for the city out there. And Eddie Stinson and his dad owned that, and they used to have, now I don't remember them building it there, but they used to have some planes in there when I was a kid, and the doors would be open, and you could go in there and you'd set in those cockpits like Eddie Reckenbacher would have back in the World War One days, you know. And then also there was a furnace factory there, and it was owned by Cheryl Ambler, Dick Ambler. I don't know if you know Dick or not, but his dad manufactured furnaces and stoves there. And there was a foundry there, Foundry Flax. And so there was quite a little industry
there. The same place where they made the bells?
The bells?
Bells.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I never, I used to go down there and watch them cast that molten iron, and they used to make these molds out of sand, put them in some kind of a box, and then they'd take this mold and, or take this thing and push it down into the sand, and then they would pour that hot steel in there, and that would make certain parts of the stove. You know what I mean? They would just kind of press it in there, and then they would pour that. For some reason or other, that sand would hold it together until it hardened up real quick. And but I wasn't very big then, but I can remember looking in there, and you're always afraid because you see that molten iron or steel, you know, they had them in those big ladles.
But they didn't chase the kids away despite the fact that it was obviously dangerous.
Well, we were outside, you know, looking in the windows, but I can remember those airplanes setting in there. And when they stopped making planes in there, I don't know now, you could ask some other people that were, you know, maybe 10, 20 years older than I, and they could tell you. Probably if you went to Allen Terrace and talked to people like Joe Revitzer that had the shoe repair shop for years, he could tell you. And there are other places, there are other people around town. And my sister's 4 years older now. And
what about churches? We've talked about several of the institutions. What about churches in the town? Which ones were here back then?
All the present churches that we have here now were here. The Presbyterian Church is exactly where it was. It's been remodeled, and I've been a member of that church for many years. I went to the Baptist Church when I grew up on Randolph. Do you? Yeah, well, you know where it is on Randolph and Wing. I went there when I was a kid. And then when I kind of dropped out for a few years, but a lot of teenagers and young men do. And then when I had a family, my wife and I went to Presbyterian Church. We got our children up in the Presbyterian Church. And the Methodist Church was there on Dunlap, if you know where the old church is, with the old clock. That was the Methodist Church before they moved out on 8 Mile Tap. And we used to play basketball in there when I was a kid. Then up where the present Catholic Church is, there was a wooden church there before they built that nice church and school up there now, and that's where the Catholic Church was. And the Lutheran Church is exactly where it was, except out on the corner more of that's High Street in Williams. But that little street is, as you go up
I don't remember either, because it's hard to get back in there.
East Street, I think.
Yeah.
And of course they have their school in back of it now, but the Lutheran Church was there in that same area, that same spot. They built that off the street a little bit. So all the churches that are here today, with these, I don't know what that church is than the old Methodist Church is now, but
it's called Church of the Open Door.
Yeah,
or
Open
something.
Door Church, yeah. Something like that. But that's where the Methodist Church was for years. Mm-hmm. And so those are the churches that were here. The City Hall is still in the same place. The Fire Hall is in the same place as it was. Of course, as you know, we've built a new City Hall. The other one's an old wooden one that was there for years. And the caretaker lived there. And directly across the street on Wing Street, where the MAG building is, that used to be the library there. Now the library is down in Grace Mount. And I can remember going in there. That used to be one of the churches in Northville. I can't remember which one it was. It was before I could remember what it was.
Where? Where the MAG is building is?
Yeah.
Prior to the library, it was a church?
Yeah,
was
it used to be a church, yeah. Because if you look at that, it has a lot of characteristics of a church, with the bell tower up there and the fountain house.
Where the MAG's building is?
Yeah, where the MAG's building is.
Oh, it was new.
Yeah, that's new, but that's where the library sat when I was a kid.
I see.
See what I mean? And it used to, prior to being a library, it was a church, but I can't tell you what denomination it was. And that would be right across from City Hall. Because City Hall actually faced, the front door actually faced Wing Street.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. And then the back of it was out towards where the fire hall is now. And the caretaker lived in there 24 hours a day, he and his wife. And
you had a fire in North, well, you called him up, and then he turned on the siren. And he also turned it on every day at noon. He used to blow the fire. And so you always knew when it was 12 o'clock at North.
What do you remember, speaking of the fire department, because the police department was there too, what do you remember about the police department back then?
Well, we had two policemen. We had a chief and a night watchman.
Who was the chief?
I think a man by the name of Light. I can't, Cracky Light, I think was his name. And then there was a night watchman who went around and checked all the doors to make sure they were locked in the business district. And they didn't really patrol. He only had one car, and he had a Model A. Oh, Bill Safford was the chief of police. Bill Safford, when I was a little guy. And then I think Cracky Light was the night watchman. But Bill Safford was, and he lived down on Wing Street, right where Wing Court comes in, if you know where that is. That's down past the post office.
Mm-hmm.
And on the left-hand side, as you're going south, and he lived in one of those houses down there. But Bill Safford was, and I know he used to wear the leather strap-on boots around, you know, around the lower part of his legs with a flare pants. And he was a real, real hot-looking guy, you know. And then after him, I think Dutch German came in as chief of police, and then Dick Loomis and Joe Denton came in there for a long time for them as chief of police, and I'm sure you've heard of his name.
That's the one I've been told about, yes.
Yeah, Joe
it's
Denton.
Pearl Stevens' father.
Yes, right.
Okay.
Pearl,
yeah.
And she's married to Carl. Yeah. And her mother and dad owned a 10-cent store and a grocery store right next, well, right where Margie's Beauty Shop is, and right to the south of Cloverdale. Then. He had a red and white grocery store, and then he had a little dime store. There's three little stores in there. And in where that little candy store is now, there used to be a jewelry store. Lucius Blake used to have a jewelry store. And then in the middle store was their little dime store. You asked Pearl about it sometime. And then right next to it, they had a little independent grocery store there. I can remember Carl working in there, and I can remember Pearl working in there.
The jewelry store was in Thelma Velasco's father.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And then there were Bowden's insurance places that used to be the old Northville Record. And Dr. Atchison's father-in-law, Ruth Mary, you know Ruth, her dad, Baldwin, was the editor. And that's where the Northville paper was for years, right there in that building. And then Carrington bought it, and he put his insurance agency in there, and Dr. Eastland had his dental office at the back of it, and like that. But Dr. Atchison's wife's father was editor of the newspaper there for years. I don't know what Mr. Baldwin's first name is. You know, back in those days, you always called everybody Mr. and Mrs. you know. And I don't know whether it was Phil or not, but her brother went to school with me, Phil. And she was absolutely the most beautiful girl in Northville. She married Dr. Atchison, Russ Atchison. And of course, Russ had his practice there in his father's old office up on Linden and Dunlap for years up there. And they've been in this community all their lives too. Mm-hmm. Of course, we grew up, Russ is older than I am, but we always went to him when I got older. You know, but prior to them, I went to Dr. Holcomb and Dr. Snow. He was a couple of old-time doctors in Northville, and Dr. Snow had his office right on the corner of Linden and Main Street, right across from the elementary school there. And Dr. Holcomb had his on Wing Street, two houses back of Cal's gas station there, right on Wing Street. And his office is still there. Mrs. Holcomb is still alive. And they took care of me when I was kids, you know. And then, of course, you had Dr. Irene and Harold Sparling. Then you had Dr. Paul and Dr. Vicki Lovewell. It's down on Main Street now. She's still there.
You had two female doctors in Northville? Yes. That must have been most unusual.
It was. It was. Yeah. Dr. Sparling. The Sparlings were MDs, and the Lovewells were osteopathic surgeons. And they practiced in the Highland Park Osteopathic Hospital. And Dr. Vicki is still alive. In fact, her picture was just in the paper last week or 2 weeks ago. They had kind of a little, I think she's 80-some years old. And they were also chiropractors. And she took care of the women, and he took care of the men patients. And occasionally she would take care of some of the men patients because Dr. Paul died, and she still carried the practice on there. And her house is right next to Long's Plumbing there. She practiced right out of that office for years and years and years. I'm kind of hopscotching around.
That's all right. Here, but, that's all right. Being very informative. Just keep running talking.
Which is...